shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, the number one live audio culinary industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner, award-winning chef, TV host and global icon, and national treasure,
at least in his mind,
Chef Plum. So close that saute station, make sure the grill is off, and grab that shift drink, because we're about to mess up your mise en place. Here's Chef Plum.
Oh, yeah. What's happening, everybody?
What's going on? I hope you're having a fantastic week. You know, we are here at the show. Got a good one tonight. Got a really good one tonight. Should be a lot of fun. Doing a little round table. You guys love the round table show, so we're going to do one tonight, man. We got a couple of great guests joining us. We've got Chef Nick Callias is going to come in and tell us all about his new position at the Lions Group, a giant restaurant group he's worked with. And, of course, show regular, friend of the show, former New York Giant turned chef. I don't know if we could call him a chef. I'm going to ask him when I get him on here. Stevie Brown from the New York, from Fresh Plate is going to join us. But it wouldn't be a show if I wasn't joined by the one, the only. That's right. Chef Jeff is in the building with us. Jeffy, what's happening, buddy?
Living the dream, man.
Yeah, man.
Woo!
That's right. You're not. Are you still driving that cigarette boat down in Miami trying to catch alligators and solve crimes?
Now I'm wearing shoes, Daddy. Those alligators are done.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Nice.
You know I'm a...
Well, this is the first time you've been around here for a roundtable show, man. It should be a lot of fun tonight. We got two great guests coming on board with us to talk about some topics and subjects and things going on in the industry, but also two very, very distinct perspectives tonight. You know, you got Nick coming on board with us who... in charge of a giant restaurant group doing amazing things. And, of course, our friend Stevie Brown coming on to talk about Fresh Plate, you know, from doing his food truck and catering work. It's kind of two, you know, different perspectives this evening.
Definitely. I'm really excited to talk to both the guys. Both have great stories. Both are doing really exciting stuff and in two different parts of the world. So it'll be really cool to kind of like just kind of like hear – everyone's perspective. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And, you know, I can't wait. I got to give Stevie props, man. His food is looking killer these days. On the Instagram. Right?
Exactly.
What happened to you there? You fell off? Did you fall off your chair?
What? No. I didn't fall off my chair. I was drinking part of my drink, and then I came in.
Oh, you tried to talk while you were swallowing, and I messed you up. I apologize. I should have given you more time to drink there. That was my fault. Of course, the alcoholism has to.
It's just, it's me. I have a drinking problem.
Yes, I do too.
I can't. Whenever I go to drink, it's always when someone speaks, and then it's awkward. I put the drink down. Go ahead. we're on a show, right?
We are. We're trying to do a show here, Jeffy. That's all I'm getting at. Hey, listen, we got to talk a little bit about live reads on this program, man. And the other week... You know, it came across that I barked at you. We were getting people telling us that I was barking at you when I was trying to do the live read for that book. I wasn't barking at you, man. I apologize if you thought I was.
Thanks for apologizing. You did yell at me a little bit. You know, it was like a bit of a scolding. I don't know if it was like you bark. It's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like, put that down. I told you three times. Put it down. Put it down. And I was like, I'm sorry, Dad. And then I just went in my corner. But we talked about it, and I feel way better.
Did it feel like I was telling you to pull your pants up or something? Like, pull your fucking pants up. Yeah. Like, you're being scolded, right?
Yeah, it was a little like that. It was a little like that, like, how dare you?
Yeah. Well, I definitely don't want to come across like that, so I apologize if that's the case. I did not mean for that to happen. I would never want to scold Jeffy. He does a great job. I would never want to scold him.
In all honesty, I didn't feel scolded, but when everyone else said it, I was like, yeah, that's right. He did scold me a little bit.
All right. Well, there you go. Hey, listen, coming up here very, very soon, Jeff, we are going to be in Mexico. Dude, how excited are you for this? Cuisines of the Sun happening in April. I can't wait.
I'm super excited.
I mean,
the only thing that would make me happier is if my wife was there, too.
I know, but we'll be there together. Like, right? It's you and I. We're going to share a hotel room. Oh. It'll be great.
I think that's why she's jealous, honestly. Because she knows what, you know, we're going to be down there, lubed up in the sun, looking sexy on the beach. People are going to be just staring like, oh, my God, look at these. Who are these two?
Either that or they're going to be lassoing us, trying to put us back into the ocean.
Push him in the water. He's dying.
Like, I've never seen a blue whale with a spike haircut. What's that about? It's fucking so uncomfortable for everybody.
Oh, man.
No, it's going to be great, man. Cuisines of the Sun at the Riviera. I can't think of the name. I can't. My Spanish is
Riviera Nayarit.
Yeah.
I'm probably butchering it, but it's a beautiful resort. Rooms right on the water. Gorgeous pools. There's going to be a bunch of amazing chefs there making amazing food. It's going to be a dope weekend.
It's the the Villa Estancia, which should be awesome. They did a post about me. I didn't even notice that. Villa Estancia. It's going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to it so much, man. We're going to go down there. You know, we're actually doing a dish where we're going to make a quick country ham. I'm super excited about that.
Me too. That's going to be great. On a dope biscuit. Mm.
Yeah, mm. It's going to be amazing, dude. So we're taking the country ham down there to Mexico. We can't wait. That event is going to be amazing. It's happening April 23rd to the 27th. I mean, I'm telling you, it's hard to try to sell to people to come to this event, but like, if you're looking for a vacation, I mean, you're a food person, this is where you got to be.
Definitely a good time. And actually pretty reasonable from what I understand.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. It's really not bad at all. So that's going to be awesome. But, dude, we got a dope show tonight. Super dope show. Going to be a round table. Got two very, very wonderful people on the program. Well, and Nick. And then, of course, we got Stevie Brown joining us talking about Fresh Plate. Two great points of view, man. I'm looking forward to it, man. I think we should play our spots, commercial spots, and get on with it. What do you say?
Yeah. Did we want to let people know that we're open for more commercial spots? I mean, we're on Fiverr right now. Anyone out there, if you want us to read on the show live, we're opening up Fiverr. We want to have a good time with it. $5, send us 50 words or less, and we will read it on the air. We will maybe talk a little shit also, but it's $5.
You get what you pay for.
We'll promote it. We'll promote your business. We'll dump your wife. We'll, tell your best friend that you're gay. Whatever it is that you want us to do, we're here for you. And just reach out there, Fiverr. Look for Chef Plum. Plum Loves Food Live. And, reach out, guys. $5.
Reach out. You'll find it on Fiverr. We're looking forward to it, guys. Stay right there. We'll be right back with Chef Nick Callius and Stevie Brown from Fresh Plate. Stay right there, guys. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Hang tight. We'll see you in 2 seconds.
Every 100 years, an idea comes along that changes the way we think.
It's one small step for man, one giant step.
It molds us as people, outlines social norms, and brings us full circle in life.
Go ahead, son. Fetch that cleaver and stump. It's time to take out that cock.
Mommy, where does chicken meat come from?
Yeah, how do we kill these chicken to eat now when we raise them, Trevor?
A dream turned into a reality. So inspiring, so creative. It needs no introduction. Chef tested, poultry farmer approved, and endorsed by the Church of Jesus and Latter-day Saints. Introducing Cock Blocks, the first cutting board guillotine designed to lock in that cock just before you lop its top. Comes complete with ergodynamic blood pool, adjustable leather straps, 3 blade choices, and a face splatter shield just in case. Now you can take your cock harvesting to the next level. Take it to Cock Blocks.
Order now online, www.cockblocks.com. That's blocks with XXX. The first 100 orders will receive a free child-sized splatter shield.
A sizzle plate product.
Coming back live right here. Plum Love Foods Live. Super, super excited, man. We got a great show tonight, Jeff. I can't wait, man. I love roundtables. Roundtables are so much fun.
Absolutely.
Tonight, we are joined here to talk a few industry topics and whatnot with two great good brothers. We've got the one, the only, Chef Nick Callias is joining us. He is from the Lions Group. Brand new position for him. A great restaurant opening up here very, very soon in Boston called Rochambeau. Nick, what's up, brother? How are you, man?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Great to be on.
Always a pleasure talking to you, my friend.
Nick.
One of my favorite guys in the industry right there, Chef Nick. He's a great guy. Nick represents everything that's right in our business, Jeff. That's what I've always said. He's just a great guy.
Everything but the Patriots. And you know,
my $5.
That's true, too. That's true, too. And, of course, we're also lucky enough to be joined by a former NFL player from the New York Giants turned chef himself, doing a fantastic job down there in Texas with his food truck, Fresh Plate, one and only Stevie Brown. Stevie, what's up, man?
How you guys doing?
Dude, we're doing well, man. We're doing well, and I love to see that hustle, dude. Your Instagram's blowing up. Your food looks on fucking fire.
Appreciate it. You know, I'm trying to do something.
You ain't trying. You're doing it. It looks great. before we jump into a couple of topics, man, I want to catch up with both you gentlemen really quick. Stevie, last time you were on the show, we were talking. I don't think you quite had bought the food truck yet. It was on the radar. It was about to happen. How's that been for you, man? How's the truck doing?
It's doing well. You know, I've had it for about a year now. You know, trying to get all over Houston with it, feed as many people as we can, just bring them a little bit of healthy.
Is it just you, or how many people in the truck with you?
I just have one employee. Been the same guy with me for the whole time.
Nice.
Good guy that I like, trust a lot. So, you know, we be rocking it out.
Man, the food looks great. How big is the menu?
You know, we switch it up every now and then. We trying to incorporate different things that people would like, but still recognize at the same time. Like I said, whenever I do these things back just from my playing days, I try to take food that I like to eat and then I want to eat. And just figure out ways to make it a little bit healthier and then still keep the flavor on there and then serve that out there. So, you know, it switches from time to time.
That's what's up.
That is what's up, man. And his food looks great. And I love to see that. And one of these days, I hope to actually try your food. I want to do that pretty badly because I'm impressed by it. Like, what I love about what you've done is how seriously you take it. You know, I was telling Jeff before we started the show here tonight, you know, the times you and I have talked, like, you have a respect for the industry that we work in that I think I wish everybody had it, because you understand it, you get it, and not only that, you're working in it every day now.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know, I've been around a lot of great chefs like yourself, and they always tell me a lot of different things, been showing me the ropes along the way, and you know, it's definitely different from being in football. In football, you know, if you have talent right away, they just go ahead and put you out there. But in the food industry, talent doesn't always get you so far. You know, you got to learn the steps. You got to learn all the minor details and grow from there. And then once you're able to do it a little bit more, then they put you out there.
It's pretty rewarding, though, isn't it?
It really is. You know, like whenever you hang out with, when I hang out with certain of my chef friends, the only thing they ever let me do is chop onions and cut garlic. You know, I'm just like, man, I've been cooking for a while now. That's like, that's okay, you know, just give me two more onions over there.
That's great, man. Yes. I love that. That's awesome. Hey, the one thing too, we were both talking about here, and we'll get to Nick here in one second, but Jeff and I, you know, I mean, I know you see us on Instagram, we're two very, you know, Adonis like individuals, but when I look at you, shut up, Nick.
I'm sorry. Is that out loud?
But I mean, you know, the sheer just constitution and just strength, and you know, that you can see when you look at a gentleman like us.
Girth.
Every time I see your Instagram pictures, man, you're making amazing food, or you're like glistening while you're working out. How does
I know, do you get sprayed down?
Yeah,
Steve, I'd be careful.
I mean,
you might want to unfollow Plum.
I mean, dude, like you're always like soaking wet, and I'm like, what is happening right now? This is so, I don't even know. And then he's like, I made a cheeseburger. Here's a beautiful picture of this cheeseburger and how it's healthy. And then there's like, look at me while I cook with no clothes on. What is that about, dude?
Hey, I mean, you know, it's just the following kind of likes it, you know.
No, I don't. Things. No. It makes me feel
throwing
worse
shade on
myself.
The flex.
Yeah.
What is up with that?
It makes me feel worse on myself.
You know that's your screensaver, Plum.
All right. Steve, you're killing it, man. You're awesome. I love what you're doing out there, man. I can't wait to get some opinions and talk to you a little bit more about the truck. And tonight we're also joined, unfortunately, by one of the best chefs in the country, a good brother, a good friend of the show, a good friend of ours. He was just hanging out at the Mohegan Sun Food and Wine Fest with us. He's made a nice career move for himself. Like I said, one of the best guys in the business. Love the man to death, Chef Nick Callias. Oh, Nicky, you already had to chime in, didn't you? You couldn't just let well enough alone. Brother, what's going on? What's the new job?
So, super excited. I am now the culinary director for the Lions Group. Really large restaurant group out of Boston. We have about 24 restaurants. We're in the middle of opening a 13,000 square foot French restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah, cafe, PDRs, restaurant, bar, all in all, about 400 seats. We're going to have a party, and it's going to be French. So neo-French, little twist, little party life, good nightlife, good food, some classics turn really modern. It's going to be awesome.
I mean, French food's kind of been your thing for a while now, brother, right?
Yeah, last 13 years running Brasserie Joe, which is a brasserie by Chef Jean Joho from Chicago. He's originally from Alsace, France. One of the best chefs in Europe and in the world. Chef Joe's an amazing man, and I had the pleasure of running his brasserie for the last 13 years.
Man, I tell you what, your food's amazing. And Jeff, you met Nick at Mohegan Sun. He's a hard guy not to just love, isn't he?
He's a fucking bum.
I love him. <much. laughs>
No, I love this guy. He's awesome. We had a great time. Real down to earth, good brother. Only complaint is that we all live so far away. I wish we could all hang out and actually have a beer together more often because we had a blast.
I agree 100% on that.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Stevie, let me ask you this, man, before we get this ball rolling here. So you hear the stories about what someone like Chef Nick does with, running this restaurant and, brand new, have 400 seats, man. Would you ever do it? Would you ever leave the food truck and try to work towards something like that? Or is that not in the game plan ever for you? And I wouldn't blame you.
Man, I don't know. 400 people, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
With a healthy food truck, we're averaging about, at least 30 to 35 people a day. I don't know, 400, that's a lot of cooking.
It's a lot of food.
It's
right?
definitely a blessing to have something that big, but I don't know if that'd be for me.
I mean, it seems like an awful lot. And Nick, the same question for you, man. Would you trade that to go and do a? I think you'd make an amazing food truck, to be honest with you. But is that something that you would ever think about?
It's funny because when we had Brasserie Joe, we were trying to do Joe on the go and do a food truck.
Oh, nice.
But I couldn't get the buy off on it, man. Those food trucks, man. That's a tight kitchen. God bless you. My fat butt can't fit between those lines.
Oh yeah, trust me, it's a struggle for me as well.
Yeah, but it's because one of Stevie's arms when he gets in the truck and there's no room for anybody else. That's the problem.
Probably one of his arms is like my fat ass anyway.
But doing the type of food you do, Stevie, how many items are on your menu right now? Just kind of as a comparison. Like tomorrow when you come out, how many items do you have on, like different menu items?
We'll have six different proteins that you can choose from and four different sides that you can have.
Nice, nice. And your proteins range from what? Like just chicken or...
Yeah, we do a grilled barbecue salmon. We do a sweet and spicy turkey meatloaf. We have a Southwest turkey burger. We do a spicy chicken sandwich. We have fish tacos. What else do we have on there? We do a grilled skirt steak that we make a chimichurri sauce for.
Delicious.
Yeah, just some little simple things like that. Things that are all recognizable. I think.
No, but that's good stuff, though, man. That's. I mean, look, right now, I'm telling you right now, as you were saying that, the three chefs on the horn here with you are like, oh, I'd like to have some fish tacos. That sounds great.
Yeah, exactly.
They're laughing because I know I'm right. I was like, oh, fucking skirt steak with chimichurri?
Absolutely. I was like getting hungry again.
I'm like, it sounds delicious. I love some skirt steak.
Oh, yeah.
And Nick, it kind of just says compare like the menu for the new place you're working on. What's that going to – how many items are going to be on there?
Looking at the menu, we're going to have four different components to – main dining room, I'll have about 25. I'll have a cafe where, homemade croissants and danishes and soups and and press sandwiches and charcuterie and raw bar. And then, you know, the bar menu will have a totally different menu with a lot of charcuterie, chasson, and French hot dogs and things like that. The PDR will be a separate menu. So you're probably looking at, I don't know, 40, 50 items.
Damn.
Wow.
That's a big menu.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good amount.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But, you know, when you do the food truck, it's a little bit smaller space. But, you know, I got a couple of topics I want us to talk about, but I wanted to ask you, Steve, because you're down in Texas, man, in Houston, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's some great food down there. I actually know some great food people I should probably introduce you to. But as far as local food, like, how hard is it to get great local ingredients down there?
It's not too bad. We're actually just about to start partnering with this farmers market out in Rice Village nice. Next week. We're going to be out there, so that's actually going to help out a lot. I think we're going to start trying to work with a few more of the farmers out here and just try to go straight from their farm to the truck, you know, add a little bit extra freshness and be able to tell people exactly where all their food comes from.
That's amazing. And do people ask about that? Do they care about that?
Yeah, you know, sometimes whenever, since we are a healthy truck, they do want to know, you know, what certain things come from, whether it's fresh or wild caught, when it comes to the salmon or the tilapia that we use. They do ask about the vegetables and things like that here and there. So, you know, some of the things we can tell them, other things, you know, it's just like everybody else. We go to the grocery store and we buy it and then we cook it up from that way.
We got a great salmon guy I can introduce you to. I mean, he's I don't want to say he's expensive, but his minimum makes him a little bit more expensive. But he's an Alaskan fisherman. He's been on this show. His name's Traveler, Salmon and Sable. He's a good brother. He's awesome. He's a little bit of a freak show. But, you know exactly where the salmon came from because the dude was out there with the fishing pole and caught the shit. And it's really good, high-quality stuff. It's great, man.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Nick, what about you, man, as far as getting local ingredients for the new restaurant? Is it hard for the volume, or is it make it easier because of the volume?
No, you know, this volume, we work a lot of big vendors that are sourcing the farm stuff for us. So, you know, we have a consultant we're purchasing where we're sourcing things from the farms. Right now I'm looking at a farm to get my chickens for so I can just do rotisserie chickens all day long.
Nice.
The fish we get, you know, we're right in the middle of the water. So the fish isn't the biggest issue. You know, being in Boston in the cold weather, you know, seasonality plays a big role. So we're utilizing farms all over the country that that our local vendors can deal with and get the products that we need. So, you know, we try to stay in the Vermont area and New Hampshire and Maine and things like that and Connecticut and stuff. But, you know, we do our best with it. But when you talk about this numbers that we do and that we're going to do, you know, I'm probably going to be doing 300 chickens a week. You know, it's a big ass farm.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Yeah. If you want to learn more about Chef Nick, check him out on Instagram at ChefNick52. Or if you want to learn anything more about his latest restaurant that they're opening, Rochambeau Boston, at Rochambeau Boston for the Lions Group.
And no doubt about it, man. I can't wait to check that restaurant out, too, man. I can't wait to come up there. Nick, every restaurant you do is amazing, man. I always have a great time, and you're so good about taking care of people. And, Stevie, I hope you're kind of catching that now and in the business and meeting chefs and whatnot to where you're seeing how chefs take care of each other in the kitchen. And whenever you go to the restaurant, they just start looking out for you and start sending food out and stuff. Have you felt any of that yet?
Oh, yeah. I definitely have a few friends that whenever I stop by the restaurants, they definitely look it up.
Yeah, they just take care of it, man. So the last time I went to one of Nick's restaurants, I don't think he even gave me a menu. He just started sending shit out. I'm like, dude, I can't eat any more food. And he was like, no, you got to try this. And then he comes out and sits down with us with a glass of wine. I'm like, Nick, I'm going to pass out. That's just the way
Stevie, you have to come up to Boston, man.
Oh, yeah, I definitely want to get up to Boston. That's on the bucket list for sure.
Yeah. Chefs take care of chefs, man.
Dude, absolutely. If you come up here, we'll definitely look after you. Everybody will. Man, I'd love to have you come up for and hang out in the Hamptons with us for one weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I missed the Hamptons. It's been great out there.
Oh, dude, I'm out there working all summer. So is Jeff. We both work out there all summer long. We're working on planning a pretty big event, like a charity event. So maybe we'll talk offline about that. I think you'd be pretty good for that.
Hell, yeah. That would be amazing, man.
Yeah, just let me know.
Yo, Stevie, how does your truck work? Do you have a route, or I noticed that, like it said, like Thursday nights we're pulling up here until the food is gone on the Instagram. Like, what how do you get the food to the people, and how do they know where you're at when you're at?
You know, we take bookings whenever they come. You know, consistency is one of the things that we have to really like be on to. Out here with the truck, so like if there's days where I'm not working, I'm usually just out driving around Houston, dropping off business cards, running into people, trying to meet new people in different places to park the car or park the truck.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, you know, we always post on Instagram, we'll post on Facebook. We try to give you as much up to date or as fast or advanced notice, I should say. Facebook will always post our weekly schedule. And then daily, whatever, if we have an event or not, that's usually on Instagram or Twitter or something like that.
That's your fresh, that's at Fresh Plate?
Yes.
P-H-R-E-S-H Plate. That's awesome. So so if I were to check, if I'm in Houston and I want to catch you, I go to your Facebook page and I'll find where you're going to be that week. Or is it like day, or how does that work?
Yeah. Facebook will, on Sundays, we usually post where we're going to be at all week on Facebook, and then we'll update it daily as we're like going out. And Instagram, it's usually day young. We usually do a lot of lunch shifts, so at least by 8-9 o'clock you'll see where we're about to be posted after our lunch shift. And so that usually comes out in the morning of.
Nice. Hey,
do you guys have Restaurant Depot down there, Stevie?
Oh yeah, I'm in Restaurant Depot all the time.
So they usually allow food trucks out there, man. You should talk to them.
I might have to.
Restaurant people coming to your truck on the way. I mean, that's a win-win.
It's definitely a win-win. Get other people in the industry stopping by, trying your food on their way out.
I think the Restaurant Depots I've gone to up here in the Northeast, they totally allow. Like, you talk to them, you can bring your food truck and park out front. They don't care.
Yeah, I might have to stop by.
I'm sure you would kill it at sporting events too, man. I bet like there were any kind of like races or anything going on where there were athletes doing stuff and you were slinging this like really dope, fresh, delicious food that makes you feel good when you eat it. I can't imagine somebody wouldn't want to jump on that.
Yeah, we got a few weekend events coming up in April. That one's a CrossFit event, another's a bike race that we're going to be working. So yeah, we're hoping to stick around the athletic scene and get the people who, after they work out, they don't feel too bad coming to the truck and eating.
Listen exactly. To the events he's talking about, a CrossFit event and a bike. Could you go do like a hot dog eating contest? Like, just go hang out with those people. I don't know why. Like, I'm like, fuck, a CrossFit event. I couldn't do that. Or maybe I could. I don't know. If I hang out with Stevie long enough, I probably
chicks,
could.
Right? Maybe. Scared of the CrossFit chicks. I know you are.
Yeah, I am scared of those. That's for damn sure. They got bigger shoulders than I do, brother. A little bit nuts. Well, in the industry, one of the things that's always a pain in the ass when it comes to production and running your kitchen, whether it's a hotel situation or a food truck or even as a private chef, is keeping your food and maintaining the freshness of the food. There's a new thing that has come out recently. There's an article on Delish.com. It's about a sticker that you actually can get. It's fundraising right now. It's been approved. That basically will allow you to keep your fresh fruit up to 2 weeks longer. It's a sticker that you literally put on your fruit. It's great for avocados. It's kind of going to become a thing. It's an Indiegogo right now. It's already exceeded the amount of money it wanted to have, and I just don't quite understand how it works. And as much research as I did, I couldn't really find anything. It says something about the sticker creates a compound around the fruit, around that sort of stuff. Nick, would something like that ever interest you, or do you think in our industry, like, that would become a norm to where we have these stickers, but we may have our dishwashers or prep guys stick on all the avocados before they put them in the walk-in?
Well, you know, everyone's going to do everything they can to prolong life of food, right? And they,
sure.
You know, more times they can use it, and less they have to waste, the more money they're going to put in their pockets. I'm just curious what chemical reaction is doing to the food.
Exactly.
It's the Jurassic
Park effect, where everybody's so excited that we can do it, we don't ask whether we should do it.
Right. And my only other thing, too, is if you got to hold the fruit for 2 weeks and your ass don't know how to order.
That's a damn good point.
I'd be firing you and getting someone else to buy it.
That's a damn 100%. Good point. Stevie, I'm guessing for someone like you with what you do, man, like, I mean, you probably basically blow through all your inventory on a day or day and a half basis, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, there's not, just like you said, when it comes about buying and everything like that, when I first started the truck, I was like, yo, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. I used to just overbuy, and I was wasting so much product. And now, being in it for a year, I realize, you know, certain places I go to, certain things I go to, I only need to buy so much because I know how much I'm going to get out of it and how much we're going to sell. So being able to, I still don't even think putting a sticker on it would be good for me, just like you said, with that chemical reaction to the food. Like,
who knows, right?
You know, it's a little weird, you know, if you put like some apples in the fridge for 2 weeks and there's not a brown spot on them by the time you get back to them, or, you know, the kale is still bright green and things like that. Like, I personally probably wouldn't want to eat it. I just don't understand why, because it's naturally not supposed to look like that after 2 weeks.
Don't worry about the tail. You'll be good.
the stuff goes bad because we shouldn't eat it. Like, I mean, it's going bad for exactly.
Exactly. I mean, that's why things expire. You're not supposed to prolong expiration.
Right.
Well, don't you guys all think that if this shit really works, that it's just going to be on all the fruit anyway?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if this really works, every farmer in America is going to be like, yeah, I just put these stickers on there with my logo. You know what I mean?
Like,
damn. Yeah, like, buy my tomatoes, they last for a month.
Yeah, well, or no, I mean, think about the farmer's perspective. You can only sell your food when it's ready and ripe and out, you know, and then it's only good for as long as it's good, you know, with like the shelf life. So if they could put a sticker on every single tomato and it looks ripe for 2 weeks on their shelf, how much longer can they sell it? You know,
it's
I don't know.
It's true.
It's kind of crazy. To me, it's just like that.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's. I don't know. It may directly affect us in, you know, as people in the industry who serve food. It may affect us from a cost standpoint by possibly lowering the cost on certain things. But, you know, for me, for my job, what I cook, the people that I cook for, like, they would never want something like this on their tables. Like, they don't want, you know, I think it's a mistake, because I guess where I'm going with this is the whole world that we live in now with food is kind of going, like, you know, Stevie's route, especially, like, we want fresh food, we want clean food, we want, you know, organic food, you know, which has definitely become more of a buzzword than anything else. Jeff, I mean, you're kind of on that same path, right?
Yeah, I mean, I as a chef, I find, especially again, as a private chef, I cook for just a family. So for me, it's like I love the people I cook for. I mean, you should love who you cook for anyway, but I mean, I actually have a relationship with these people, so I'm constantly trying to get them the best of the best of the best, just because I want them to have that, you know, and it, you know, I always try to go organic or local or both if I can, you know, usually local first.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that the FDA has something called GRAS, you know what GRAS is? GRAS. It's an acronym. Have you seen this before?
Nah.
It stands for generally recognized as safe. I'm not
generally
making that up.
I just Googled it.
It's a real thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can catch this D, it's Graz, girl.
That shit's Graz.
Drug Administration designation that a chemical or substance added to food considered safe by experts. Considered safe.
I mean, I'm going to start using that. It's
not tested. It's just considered safe.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you're probably good.
Yeah,
listen.
You probably will be okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Don't worry about it.
We can all have a little rat poison. It's not going to be bad for you. Like, and if you'll know you're getting too much because you'll feel really high, and then don't eat anymore. That's all.
It's basically the 5 second rule.
That's
just like it hit the ground for 5 seconds. Just blow it off.
That's it. It's just crazy, man. Oh, man. So we're not doing stickers. We're all getting away from stickers. We're not doing that. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah, stickers won't be good.
All right. That we solved that problem. By the way, this is the five issues here that we're dealing with tonight here on Plum Low Foods Live. As we sit here with our round table, we got our guest, the one and only Stevie Brown from Fresh Plate, former NFL player, and, of course, the head of culinary operations for the Lions Group, Chef Nick Callias, is joining us, and of course myself and Jeffy. Carl's Jr. You guys know Carl's Jr., right? They're part of the Hardee's brand.
Yeah.
All right. I used to love Hardee's as a kid. I did. They had the best hot dogs and chili. It was awesome. Carl's Jr. is now selling the bacon truffle cheeseburger and fries, right? Oh, honestly,
stop it.
Gentlemen, Nick, I'll start with you, man.
Stop it.
Are we truffles done? Are we done with truffles now?
Hey, stop with truffle oil. It's not real truffle. It takes over too much flavor. It shouldn't go in food. You know, one of the worst things for me, you go to a restaurant and they put truffle oil in something.
Right.
And you taste that truffle oil, then your next hour of eating food tastes like the back oily essence of truffle in the back of your throat, and it ruins your meal.
It's too much,
you know.
Right?
It's unnecessary. Use real truffle or don't use it at all.
Well,
period.
This is interesting here because it says here, this is an article from MSN.com, MSN Lifestyle talking about what they're doing and how they're doing it. You know, how to make a burger that's, you know, $5.99 and a $3 side of fries. And they say, well, the burger and fries feature a truffle-infused white cheddar sauce that Carl's Jr. Points out is made from both natural and artificial flavors. So,
yum. Sign me up.
Yeah, if you like champagne on a beer budget, that's how the way to go. Stevie, down in Texas, are truffles a thing or no?
I mean, depends on where you go. If you go to a little bit nicer spots, yeah, truffles are a thing. But I personally agree, truffle oil is terrible. It's overpowering.
Another giant that like.
Yeah, you know, they go somewhere like truffle fries. People like to think it's a big thing. I can't stand them.
Damn,
you know that truffle oil just becomes that's all you taste. And I like to appreciate my food. I don't want to just have one thing overpowering the whole thing.
Damn, how about that, Jeffy? What about you, man? Truffles. I mean, I know you like a lot of you. We just had truffle in NYC here on the show not too long ago.
Yeah, and, I buy a ton of truffles and I use them. So I make all my own truffle oil and salt and all that kind of stuff. I love truffles, man. I don't know. I think I mean, you guys can be mad at me, but I'm gonna fuck around and try this burger.
Careful, you're going to Mexico with Plum.
Yeah, that's right. We're gonna.
Don't worry about me. I look good, truffle burger or not.
Wow. Well,
I get my hair cut. I look fresh. I'll have the gi on. Rip the sleeves off. It's gonna be great.
So we're mixed bag here. I think we're gonna say truffle burger from Carl's Jr. If the fact that fast food restaurants are now using truffles, that does scare me a little bit. So I think you're 3-1 here, Jeffy. I don't think I'd ever order the truffle burger from Carl's Jr.
Yeah, you know, but you can't knock it until you at least take one bite and be like, all right, that was a terrible decision. You know, I'm okay with that.
Nick, tell him we can knock it.
Yeah, you knock yourself. Let us know how it works out for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, I'll eat anything. That's what is the bottom line. Like, we could go in Mexico. I'm really hoping to get off of resort a little and eat some weird stuff like cricket burgers or something.
Fucking cricket burger sounds delicious.
I mean, yeah.
You have cricket burgers in Texas?
I haven't quite seen any cricket burgers down here. Maybe we go a little further south.
That's right. So popsugar.com has an article coming up talking all about summertime, and we all love to have those beverages by the pool and whatnot. And I always love a cold Corona by the pool. Listen, I know it's a shit beer, but it's gluten-free, and with a lime, it's fantastic. Who doesn't love a Corona? Steve, you drink a Corona, right?
I should kind of stop drinking.
Oh, like altogether?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, that's a whole other story to itself. All right, well, maybe you won't have much of an opinion here. Nick is an alcoholic, and so is Jeff. but summertime, definitely, you know, the Corona by the pool, but we're seeing a whole wave of things change now, kind of going actually Stevie's route, where it's the health food and things like that. A lot of spiked seltzer waters and things of that nature coming up, different companies, flavored seltzers. Corona is jumping on board with their fruity spiked malt refresca, as they're calling it. where they've got the it's a lime twisted spiked refresher malt beverage. They've got a guava lime, a coconut lime, passion fruit lime in cans. It's coming out. It's going to be launched nationwide in May. Have we taken Jeffy? I'm going to start with you here because I think you'd have an opinion. Have we taken alcoholic beverages too far? Like, what's the deal here? How come everybody wants to? Is it alcoholic beverages too far, or is it health food too far?
In my opinion, this is an old book with a new cover. You know, I mean, you know, wine coolers and that kind of junk from my mother-in-law and other
fucking Zima.
Yeah, Zima, dude. Zima.
Purple passion.
I mean,
tell everybody your nickname for me, Nikki. We don't need to hear that out loud.
Oh my god, that kind of fits Plum.
Yes, it does.
But I just think that I think they're just trying to cash in on, you know, what everybody, it's like all that, like Mike's Tar Lemonade and all those kind of like those, like, you know, fruity, weird, not a beer drink but still gonna get you wasted so your kids will want to drink it too or something. I don't know.
Let me just see how quickly you'll judge me. You ready, Jeff? You're gonna be the bartender. We're gonna role play for a second. You ready?
Alright,
here we go. We're at a resort. It's me, I got my buddy Stevie Brown, former NFL player. It looks like a fucking cut from granite behind me. I got, you know, Nick. He's back there, too, wearing... He's got a long sleeve shirt on and a fucking overalls.
And overalls.
Yeah. Cover up as much as possible. And we're out by the pool. I walk up to you. I say, hey, what's up, man? Me and my good brothers here. We'd love to have a couple of guava and lime Corona refrescas. We'll take three of those. Are you going to look at me like there's something wrong with me?
Listen, no, man, no. Because you know what? When I go to Starbucks, I order a low-fat chai latte all the time.
Jesus Christ.
And the guy always looks at me and says, I didn't see that coming. And I'm like, thanks,
I don't
man.
Know how he missed you.
And I feel disrespected. And I feel that, listen, man, if you want to drink refrescas, drink refrescas. That's cool.
Oh, Jesus. Nick, are you on board with this or no?
No. No.
No.
No. No. No.
Coolers, wine coolers, Zima, whatever they're called. Just have a beer.
That's right.
Oh, a beer doesn't taste good to most people.
It tastes like grapefruit and guava or tangerines or... any crap like that.
You don't want a passion fruit pamplemousse refresca from Corona? That sounds delicious. No. Stevie, wrong. When you were drinking...
Listen, you know, this is helping people have babies before marriage.
I don't know. Stevie, when you were drinking, would you ever touch something like this? Or were you a beer guy or a bourbon guy? What were you drinking? A wine?
I was from Southern Indiana. We was drinking whiskey and bourbon.
Good man.
There you go. So you don't think you'd order a refresca?
I don't see a refresca ever being ordered by me.
Yeah, I think maybe we're just taking this health food thing a little bit too far here now. That's my opinion of it. I mean, everywhere you look, it's a alcoholic bubbly water or a refresca, or for God's sake, they brought Zima back not too long ago, man. So that's a scary thing.
Yeah, I saw that in the store last year. It threw me off.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah. They have that new vegan heroin now, too. It's crazy.
Jesus Christ. You know, when I was a kid, we were convinced, especially early high school, freshman in high school, that if we drank Zima, the thing going around was that the magic flashlights that the cops have when they pull you over that can see your breath blue if you've been drinking alcohol, that the what? Zima didn't show up in. Yeah.
Is that a real thing?
No. It was a fucking wives' tale, but that's what the... We thought if we drank Zima, it didn't show up in the magic flashlights.
Do they really have magic flashlights?
No.
I was like, damn, I never knew that.
Did anybody else ever hear that? You ever hear the magic flashlights so they could see if they pulled you over your breath?
Not at all. No, I never heard that one.
I think it was a Virginia thing. I don't know.
Yeah, because in Virginia, you can tell people anything and they believe it.
That's true. That's very true.
I'm sorry.
That's very
true. Like,
the
police pulled me over and they were like, you're going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. I could take you to prison right now. And I laughed at them. And then I almost went to jail.
Yeah, that almost goes well.
Yeah, that's hysterical, man. I think that I think that it definitely was a Virginia thing. But then again, I thought maybe it was like a Zima marketing thing because they were like, Zima doesn't show up in the magic flashlights. I don't know. And that shit was gross. It was like Sprite with Everclear in it. It was the most disgusting thing you ever had in your life. Did you guys ever try Zima?
No.
Yeah. I drank lots of Zima.
Of course you did. I know. That's not even a question. Stevie, you never had Zima?
Never had a Zima in my life.
All right. You ever have Mad Dog 2020?
There you go.
No, I don't think I've had Mad Dog either. I've had some old E. I've had some Steel Reserves.
Oh, Steel Reserve. Fucking anti-gravity. Oh. That shit'll fuck you up.
What? Steel Reserve is all you need. Get 140 ounce, you'd be done for.
We used to buy them by the case from 7-Eleven. $13. You get a case of 12 40s of Steel Reserve. I literally watched my roommate, his name was Old Dirty, I watched him have a fight in the living room of our house with nobody. And he fucking lost. He was on the ground, knocked out. I don't know how it happened. He drank 3 40s of Steel Reserve, and he was fighting somebody in the living room, but there was nobody there.
Yeah. I've definitely had some interesting Steel Reserve nights back in college myself.
I bet. That's pretty funny, man. Hey, I got to imagine. Look, what do you drink? This is a complete off topic, man. But when you're with the Giants and you're playing football or just in any time in your NFL career, man, do you guys do a lot of – do you drink at all, or is it like my body is a temple sort of situation?
I mean, everybody's different. I know whenever I play, whenever we're in season, I didn't drink. But out of season, you didn't catch me without a drink.
Yeah, make
up a lost time. You know, just I would drink from February till June, late June, and then I'd have to start getting ready for training camp, and then from that time I would just shut it off until season ended. Then once season ended, like the day after, I'd run to the store and go get me a fifth of Crown and just sit back and relax.
Damn, that's all right there. Look, hey, out of all the people, out of all the groups, like on a team, like whether it's the offensive line, the defensive line, secondary, or special teams, who are the heaviest drinkers in your experience?
Ooh, that's a hard one.
Yeah, I know.
Big
boys up front, the O-line guys, or.
It's like I would want to say them, but I don't know. Us DBs, we used to hold our own. You know, we don't have a lot of fat, so we just be burning that off real quick. So we can just, you know, we can just drink and then be like nothing happened just for a good amount of time.
Yeah, that's hysterical, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always picture quarterbacks being like the heaviest drinkers. Like they just are just shit-faced, you know, all the time.
Yeah, they just drink on the low, though. That's the only thing with quarterbacks. Like they can't be out in public with it. They just have to be like at the house, and they just get a whole gallon and just take it to the head, and then they just sit there and watch film.
That's great. So, Stevie, you just brought up before you were partnering with a farmer's market down in your area for the season, which is great. And I think you're seeing a lot more chefs and people in our industry caring more about that sort of stuff. But you're also seeing the fact that there's almost so many farmer's markets that the market's becoming saturated with them. I know for me, when I work out in the Hamptons, there's tons of local farms that have stands set up, and there's farmers markets as well. Nick, do you think that it's almost overkill with how many farmers markets we have now? Is it almost hurting itself?
Well, I don't know if it's hurting itself because, you know, up in Boston, we have our farmers markets, and, you know, everyone's doing something a little different. You know, everyone's growing a little different. They're bringing a little more different culture into it. And you know, it's getting people more involved. You see more and more people out in the city going to these farmer markets. So for me, it's getting more people out there seeing the food, wanting to see. They see chefs out there. You know, they can talk to chefs. They see chefs picking and looking through different things. And it kind of makes them think about more of the culinary scene. So I'm not necessarily thinking it's hurting it. In the Boston area anyway, I think it kind of, you know, it's all in one. It's all intertwined because everyone's on this farm-to-table movement and all these things. So it's kind of good for the clientele and the guests to be able to see the chefs out there looking at it and going to their restaurants. And, you know, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. You know, it's once a week, twice a week, as long as it's not every day, I guess.
Well, the interesting part is in 1994, there was roughly about 2,000 farmers markets in 1994. And to now, 2019, a 25-year span, there's now 8,600 farmers markets all across the nation, which it almost it kind of begs the question, are there too few farmers to populate these markets? I mean, I know here locally where I live, we have a farmer's market that happens on Tuesdays. It's great. Not a ton of vendors, but there's a few there, and it's pretty well supported here in our community. But then when I go out east where I work and where Jeff works, out in the Hamptons and Montauk, it's incredibly supported. Jeff, do you think it is a, I don't know, I don't want to say financial thing, but is it a more, you know, do people think of it as a more expensive to go to a farmer's market as opposed to a grocery store?
Well, I think there's different stigmas with farmer's markets if you've never been to one. And if you've been to bougie farmer's markets, you're going to think that they're all really expensive. I mean, like, I grew up in Ithaca, New York. There's an amazing farmer's market there. There's probably like 40 vendors or something. Everything from meat to flowers to cheeses to wine. They have like kiosks of people with food trucks or like little pop-ups that people are making all different types of foods. I mean, it's a really great time. And then came down here to Long Island, where I work closely with a lot of farmers. I personally think that if there were more farmers markets and there was more money being put into farmers markets and people buying local food, then those farmers could actually do the farming that they could go to the next level and make that money and expand their farms like we all wish they could.
Right.
I mean, cause that's kind of the problem a lot. Like, if you're in an area like out here and, you know, like when I ran restaurants in the Hamptons, it was really hard to just buy local because, you know, like Nick said, you're going through 300 chickens a week. You know, who can grow 300 chickens in the Hamptons a week? You know, right. It's no one. It's impossible.
Not big enough, right?
Yeah, it's impossible. I could do local eggs, and I could do like local lettuce,
local kale,
and local tomatoes when they were in season, and local potatoes when those came through. But it was like you can't just do everything that way, and that's because those farmers can't afford to actually grow everything. You know, it's there's not enough space. So I think right. I wish there were more farmers markets. I love the farmers markets in Manhattan. They're all over Manhattan. There's an amazing one in Union Square, which is not far from where I stay. And I love going there. I love seeing all the vendors. I love seeing all the foods. I like grabbing it when it's fresh and local in season.
Stevie, for you down in Texas, do you guys have a fair amount of farmers markets happening near you? And does the community support them?
Yeah, there's a decent amount down here. You know, the one thing with Houston is it's real, I don't want to call it spread out, but it's a very big city, and then there's a lot of pockets of different little small towns. I like to refer to it a lot like New York, because, you know, you have Manhattan, and that's the equivalent to Houston down here. Then you have all the boroughs, which is all the suburbs around here. So, like, a lot of the suburbs have their own farmers market, which I think is good because, you know, I'm not trying to drive 30, 40 minutes and sitting in traffic. To go to farmers market, so to have one that's only like 10, 15 minutes away from the house it's always good for me. So I'm a big fan of them.
Nice. That's great. Hey, Jeff, why don't you tell everybody a little bit more info about where they can find Fresh Plate and what that's about?
Well, you can check Fresh Plate, that's P-H-R-E-S-H, Plate, at Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And you can also check our Chef Stevie here, Chef Stevie Brown, but it's at Stevie Brown _27 on Instagram.
Are we calling you Chef now, Stevie? Is that what we're doing?
You know, I don't like that title. I feel like I don't have enough years underneath my belt to take that role. I just like to think of myself as a cook.
Nothing wrong with being a cook, though, man. Nothing wrong with it all. But, hey, if you're cooking food, you're feeding people, I mean, that's a chef in my book. Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, cooking food right, doing it the right way, you're a chef.
Exactly.
Yeah. half the battle of getting that title is caring. As long as you care, man. You know, Nick, right? If you care, then...
Absolutely. Food is love, brother. Food is love.
That's half the battle. Okay. Final topic, Nick, tonight, gentlemen. Oh, go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Nick, how many young chefs do you tell just to give a shit a little bit?
Just a little bit every day.
Like if you just care a little bit, you're already doing better than most guys.
I can't teach you to care. I can teach you to cook. I can't teach you to care.
That's true. That's damn good advice right there, right? It sounds like he's an old man talking to us.
Spin us a yarn, Nikki.
Hey, and finally, man, on our top five hits tonight here on the round table, man, what a fun conversation it's been. Federal government, a federal appeals court, blocks the San Francisco law on ad warnings for sugary drinks. It was proposed that basically on sodas and other sugar-sweetened drinks, it would be warnings about how they're unhealthy and things like that, much like they are on cigarettes. How they contribute to obesity, diabetes, tooth decay, all those things would be printed on sugary drinks. And, of course, you know, thanks to lobbying and whatnot, it was blocked, so it's not going to be there. My question for you gentlemen is twofold. One, do we really still live in a world where people think that soda is healthy for you? And two, as chefs, as people who serve food, is it our responsibility? Like, is that part of what... You know, it's important for us to let people know that sort of thing. Stevie, we'll start with you, man. What do you think? Like, do people still really not understand that?
I don't think so. I mean, Jesus. you can't not know that soda isn't filled with sugar,
right?
In my opinion, like, I mean, there's.
Are you alive in 2019? Like, you live on
Earth?
That's
what I'm saying.
You know?
Yeah, I don't think there's a time you've ever went into a store and you're like, do I want to get this tea or this soda? Which one has more sugar? Like, you know, you pretty much know that unless you're getting that sweet tea, cane's syrup that they be putting in the sweet tea at some places, sugary drinks or soda's going to have more sugar in them. And as someone in the industry, we don't sell sodas on the truck just because of that reason. We are a healthy truck, so we don't serve anything like that. But I don't think it's your job as a person who's serving it to put a warning out there for their, like, people know. If they still want to buy it, that's their decision. You just put it out there.
Is the government trying to get way too involved in food here? It seems like a lot of, I mean, I gotta imagine millions of dollars are spent to try to make this happen, and then it doesn't. Like, it just seems like such a waste.
Yeah, I mean, it will definitely be a waste, because the same thing with, like you said, with smoking, there's all the warning labels on smoking, but people still smoke.
Right.
You know what you're getting yourself into when you buy a pack of cigarettes, just like you know you do whenever you buy a case of soda. Like, you bought it, and you just don't care.
What do you guys serve for drinks on the truck? Just curious.
We sell water. We sell green tea. We sell aloe drinks, things like that.
I'm trying to come eat this truck, Jeff.
I know, me too, man. We got to come to Houston and get fat.
I feel like I feel good about myself after I went and ate there. It would be amazing.
I mean, that is the best report that we normally get. They come by, they're like, you know what? I ate, and I don't feel like going to sleep at my desk. I'm just like, perfect.
That's what you want, right? That's what
that
you
burger
want.
On Instagram today made me really hungry. It looked awesome.
Yeah, it turned out pretty well. And honestly, even doing it that way, going with the 93.7 lean beef and whole wheat bun and making the sauce out of Greek yogurt instead of mayo, air frying the sweet potato fries and the pickle chips. You know, I don't feel bad after eating that one.
Yo, what kind of air fryer are you using, brother?
Honestly, I bought that thing like 2 years ago. I don't know where the box went.
I'm gonna text you. I'm gonna get my boys at Ergo Chef. I'm gonna have them send you an air fryer to use. All right,
sounds good.
That's my knife company. They got a big ass air fryer. It is baller. I got Jeffy
it's
one.
Really
he
nice.
Loves it.
Yeah, I love it.
It's great.
Where's mine?
I'm sorry. What's your name? I'm just kidding. Come on, Nicky. You know I love you. Hey, Nick. Let me ask you the same question, man. When it comes to these kind of drinks and whatnot, I mean, is that our responsibility? And literally, do people not still understand that these are not healthy things for you to drink? I'm not telling anybody what to do. Like, you can drink whatever the fuck you want, but do I need to tell you that's unhealthy for you?
It does say diet on the can.
He's such an asshole.
No, you know, as a chef, though, the one thing I'll say is, yeah, to a point, it is our responsibility to make sure we're serving the best, highest quality food with natural ingredients and good ingredients. Now, do I want to start? Do I think we should be labeling the soda? Hey, if the government wants to do it, great. Consumers need to know what is in the product. Yeah, everyone knows there's a ton of sugar and all that crap in the sodas and not to drink. And if you put Coke on a rusty nail, the nail's going to come out clean. That should tell you something right there, right? Don't drink it. But as a chef, we owe it to our consumer and to let them know what is going in their body, I think. You know, when we make menus and we put, you know, we put all the descriptions, you know, in our own little way, avocado, comma, cilantro, comma, lime, cilantro. So people know that the ingredients are fresh and real. At some point, soda should be regulated like that. Because, yeah, the obesity in this country is ridiculous. And you walk around, you see these kids drinking Cokes, Diet Cokes, Fresca, Mountain Dews. Shit, my son brings home those friggin' 25-ounce friggin' Arizona iced teas, which, yeah, they're good, but they have just as much sugar as everything else.
Right. I mean,
they don't understand that. They're young. They're not realizing it. It's the younger generation we have to worry about because, Plum, you and I are old. They're going to be taking care of us soon.
That's true, man. That's true. But I think what's interesting about this, it's not about labeling what's in the drink. It's simply labeling it that, it like a cigarette label, like it contributes to obesity, diabetes, tooth decay. Look, I was a smoker for years up till about 2006. That's what I was a smoker, and I still bought cigarettes even though it had that label on them. Do you think those labels would make a difference at all, Jeff? Would it matter?
No, man. No one tells me what to do.
Right. Jesus.
You rebel.
Look, he's already angry about it. The fucking government's not telling me.
You know he's popping a Coke right now.
I find the whole the white glove society that we live in infuriating. You know, like we have to like, you know, oh, this coffee's hot, sir. There's a warning label on it, or you'll sue me, you know, or, you know, you have to put how much sugar is in a donut. Like, come on, man. Like, just have a little responsibility for yourself. You know what I mean? Like, everyone needs to just get over themselves, stop expecting things from people, and just have a little self-responsibility. It's like, I know I'm a fat fuck. I love donuts. I love this stuff. I live with that decision, and I'm happy that I made it. Whether you put it on there or not, I don't give a shit if it says on there that there's 900 grams of sugar in this soda and it could lead to diabetes and you know, whatever. If I really want a Coke, I'm going to drink a Coke. You know what, Nick? It cleans the rust off a nail. Just think of what it does to my colon. Just think of how clean that shit is.
I'd rather not.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? How do you know, Nick? Okay, you're a chef. You're not a doctor. You shouldn't be giving this advice is what I'm saying.
Wow.
I love you, Jeff.
I mean, Nick. I mean, you kind of just got smacked down a little bit. Do you want to? I mean, do you want to try to come back or just leave it alone?
No,
I mean,
no. You Jeffy's can't angry. Argue with fat kids.
Jesus Christ! Look, here's the problem. You look at a couple of fat kids like me and Jeff, but we have tens for wives. I mean, Stevie, you've met my wife, like, years ago, but like we have tens for wives. I don't know how it happens. I just don't know how it happens, but
married
we
married up, brother. They married up.
Well, Nick, I don't consider you a fat guy, Nick, but if you want to come in that category with us too, you definitely married up. You're way out of your league. Your wife is like super fucking cool.
I'm way married up.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. And Stevie, this is why Stevie still sprays himself down with fucking Evian water before he takes Instagram pictures of himself working out. He's not married yet. That's why. Can we get a pre-picture when you before you sprayed yourself down, or is that not a thing?
I mean, honestly, these pictures just happen whenever I'm in the middle of a workout. Honestly,
You ask the dude on the curl machine, the 55-year-old guy, hey, brother, you mind taking a picture of me real quick? Hang on a second. Squirt some water on my arm. I'm doing curls today.
Hey, you know, you got to do it for the gram, whatever it takes.
Doing it for the gram.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's what's up right there. Well, gentlemen, I feel like we solved five of the world's problems tonight. I think that's what we did.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep.
We put him down. Jeffy, give a plug for both our guests this evening, man, before we get him out of here.
All right. Well, if you want to learn more about Stevie Brown, the cook extraordinaire from Fresh Plate, you want to check him at @StevieBrown_27 on Instagram. And you want to check him at Fresh Plate, @FreshPlate, @FreshPlate, at Plate, at Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And if you're in the Houston area, I suggest you check him where he's at. Go get his delicious food. And our buddy Chef Nick here is @ChefNick52. That's how old he is in his dreams. He works for the Lions Group. His new restaurant, Rochambeau Boston, @RochambeauBoston. Give it a follow. It's going to be open this summer. 400 seats of fury.
Seats of fury. I like that. That's amazing right there. That's amazing. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you taking the time tonight to join us here on the program and give your thoughts, man. You guys both did a great job. Thank you so much. Stevie, we'll talk to you on down the road, all right, bro?
All right, sounds good. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, we'll be keeping an eye on you on the Instagrams, too, all right? Hey,
sounds good.
Do me a favor. Take a picture of the person taking pictures of you. I wonder who takes that fucking picture. Can you get one of them for me?
I got you. If you're in there tomorrow, I'll take a picture and tag you in.
My man. All right, bro. We'll talk to you on down the road, bro.
All right, sounds good.
Peace. There he goes. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Stevie Brown, former New York Giant NFL player turned chef. He's doing a great job, dude. His food looks amazing.
Sweet Lou!
Dude, what a great guy he is, right?
Awesome guy. Awesome guy.
Hang with the
super humble being for being the leading interception dude and now turned awesome cook / just awesome guy.
He's a great dude, man. And Nick, bro, I want to make jokes and talk bad about you, but I can't, dude. I'm just so proud to call you my friend. You're an amazing guy. Like, I love everything that you do. You're always doing so much good out there in the world and helping other people, and our industry is much better for having you in it. That's for damn sure.
Thank you, my brother. You know I love you guys. Miss you guys. We got to hang out soon.
Soon.
Definitely, man.
Very, very
soon. We
got to
do an event in Boston so we can come up there. We got to make an excuse to get us all up there.
You got 97 restaurants, Nick. Pick one. Let's do something.
That's awesome, boys. Be good. Hey, safe travels in Mexico, and yeah, no spooning. Plum, you better ask for your room like you did with us.
I'm just
surprise Jeff with that.
I already know what he did, so don't worry. He can't surprise me. He does that anyway. He's always grabbing my ass. I can't stop this.
We don't spoon. We spork. We spork. We don't spoon.
Yeah, we spork it, Daddy. No, but I really want to get a life-size cut out of you that I can put over the bed while we sleep together.
What just happened? What is he talking about?
I feel like I'm going to miss Nick a lot while we're all together. It's going to be.
Well, the conversation took a turn.
Wow. I don't even know where to go with that.
On that note, guys, have a great night. Love you. Talk to you soon.
My man. There he goes. Well, only Chef Nick Callias. What a great guy. One of the best guys in the business. Can't help but love that guy.
Love that
fucking guy. Oh, man. What a fun show, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great dudes. And different, but you know, I wanted to ask Nick. I forgot to mention that I wanted to talk about his basketball career. He's an athlete.
Oh,
you know?
Fuck, we totally forgot to bring that up, right?
Yeah, we totally forgot to bring up that he was an athlete before he, you know, he got stout. He was.
Did we try to call him back? I can.
Yeah, we should just real quick, just to ask him quickly.
I hit the call button. Let's see if Nicky answers the phone. I don't know. Oh, we forgot to ask you. Jeff had one more question for you before you left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about your basketball career to us. Chef Plum didn't know that you played ball.
No idea.
He didn't believe it.
Nah.
He didn't believe
it. Dude, I had no idea. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? Really? Really? Division
I
one basketball?
College.
Is that right?
Yeah, I played in Newbury College.
Well, talk about it. What were you? Were you a center? Were you with the goon?
Yeah, I'm a center. I'm around 5'9" center. Greek guy. What are you freaking mind?
they throw you up in the air to catch
you.
I don't think that'd be very good for the team. They shouldn't have let you play center then. You should have played something different.
No. I was a shooting guard.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And then what happened?
Well, I got fat. I wasn't going to make it in any NBA because I was, again, fat and 5'9" and white.
Are you kind of glad that we didn't bring this up when we had former NFL player Stevie Brown on to talk about athletic prowess?
Dude, my wife can't look at his Instagram page.
I know. It's ridiculous.
My wife can't look at his Instagram page. She's already banned. I've already blocked her.
Wow. Dude, I want to play basketball with you, man. When can we play
anytime,
some ball?
Bro. Anytime. I used to play in those 3-on-3 NBA 3-on-3 tournaments that traveled around the country.
No really? Shit.
Yeah, I used to play in the Boston one and the New England one. Yeah, won the championship a couple of years.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I'm a good shooter.
Maybe you and your wife makes way more sense now. Is she still hoping for you to be signed by the Celtics or something?
No, she's just hoping to get in shape.
Jesus Christ.
I told her I am a shape. It's just not the one
I am
you want.
A shape. It's yeah. round. Don't you like it?
Yeah, like I'm in fantastic shape. It's a beautiful shape.
That's right. That's right. All right,
you
Nick.
You tell her what I tell my wife. Fat feels good in the dark, baby. Shut
the fuck up. For fuck's sake. All right, Nick. We love you, buddy. We'll talk to you later on.
All right, guys. Be good.
Peace, right brother. There he goes. There he goes. He's out of here. I do not love that guy.
He's the best. He's the best.
He's awesome. Dude, what a fun show tonight, man. It was a winner. That was a great one.
It was awesome.
Yeah, that
it was
really fun,
awesome. I'm having a blast. I know. Let's call some more people.
Let's call some more people. Well, speaking I think it was fun. This is why people love the roundtable shows, man, because you just get some great opinions on weird topics. And I think it was really interesting to talk about the farmer's market to get the different perspectives. I think that was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. For every topic, honestly, I think everybody had like a little bit of a different opinion, and everybody has a different perspective. I think from we're all doing different types of food too. I'm cooking privately and doing some like small catering, and the Stevie's out there in his food truck, catering to the masses that way. And then we got Nick, who's running a whole restaurant group and pushing to open a new restaurant. So I mean, that's
definitely the whole spectrum there, right?
The whole spectrum of food, really. I mean, from one side of it, anyway. And I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. It was awesome. And much respect to Stevie.
I learned something tonight, I'd say.
Yeah, and much respect to Stevie, man, for going from an NFL player, a very, a decorated NFL player, to now he's doing his food truck, which, I mean, I still would love to have some fish tacos and some skirt steak chimichurri. It sounds amazing right now.
Dude, absolutely. Everything he said, barbecue, salmon, chimichurri taco, I think he already said fish taco, we said chimichurri skirt steak.
Sounds great.
Some sort of chicken, turkey burger, spicy
turkey meatloaf. He did turkey meatloaf.
Sandwich, turkey meatloaf. Oof.
That sounds awesome. I want some meatloaf. I don't know.
I think we
should go eat, Jeffy.
I love meatloaf.
There we
I
go.
Would have a hot meatloaf sandwich right now with ketchup on it, white bread.
All I want to do is get you to say, I love meatloaf, again, and record that and make it a sound drop for when people come online. I love meatloaf. That's right. Hey,
I love meatloaf.
Look, on that note, we're going to get on out of here, man. We appreciate you guys checking out the program tonight. There was no Dave run-in tonight. We tried him. He's not around. He's still working, so we can't have him do the run-in, but I'm sure he'll be back next week.
Can we end the episode just playing meatloaf?
like a meatloaf song,
yeah. Like going in a town, in a town, in a town. You know what I'm talking about? One of those ones.
No,
come on, all right.
If I do that, it'll get booted from Stitcher and because it's royalty music, so we can't do that.
All right. So I guess I could just sing it. I mean, should we karaoke it out?
You could sing it, or I could just press the outro button.
I don't know the lyrics, so it's just a lot of like, oh, all right,
that's
come
right.
on.
Well, I tell you what, when I finish doing the outro, right before the outro music kicks in, you just yell turkey meatloaf. Why don't we do that? That'd be really funny. All right, here we go. Hey, big shout out and thanks to Stevie Brown from Fresh Plate for joining us tonight down in Houston, Texas. Of course, our good friend Chef Nick Callias from the Lions Group joining us. Big shout out to Jeffy for sitting in here tonight and hanging out with me. Love you, buddy. And we appreciate you guys the most for coming on board here and checking this program out every week. Thank you so much for all the great reviews. We appreciate all of that. And we'll see you guys next week. You guys have a fantastic rest of your night, guys. Peace. And remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. We'll see you guys next week. Peace. Turkey meatloaf.
Why are we arguing? If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.